This is Betsy Jensen, and you are listening to Unstoppable Body and Mind, episode 128, Chronic Knee Pain Success Story with Ty, Letting Go of Intensity.
In this podcast, we learn to upgrade our brain and understand the power of our thoughts to heal and to create the results we want in our life. Become the person in control of your healing and make peace with your life. Become unstoppable, body and mind.
Hello, my loves. I have a guest on the podcast this week, and I want you to listen for any similarities you might have with her, even if some specifics of your case are different, and what you might learn from her story as it might apply to you. Here you go. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Today, I have a special guest. We're going to talk about a cool recovery story. This is Ty, and we met being moderators on the Tell Me About Your Pain Facebook group. And Ty, are you, you're in another country, right? Are you in Australia or where are you?
No, I'm in Kenya.
Kenya. Okay. I didn't even realize that. Sometimes online you miss some of those details. Very cool to have you. Thanks for coming.
So, thanks for having me.
Yeah. My pleasure. I wanted to just get some of these amazing women's stories, and especially, you know, how PRT, pain reprocessing therapy, has helped, or other things that you found helpful with mind body. And so let's just start with your story, Ty. You could tell me what has been going on with your body that led to finding this work. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sure. The story is very, very long, but I'll give you the shorter version. I've basically been an athlete my entire life, and ever since I can remember, I've had like weird injuries that no one diagnosed, and no one could. I'd get scans, I'd get tests, and they'd be like, "Well, it could be this or it could be that," but it was never like a definitive, like you tore your ACL or whatever. It was just like pains would come and then they would linger, and sometimes they would just kind of go away on their own. Sometimes they would last for a really long time. And I mean, people just, you know, especially like my mother would tell me, you just heal slowly, or you're just fragile. Maybe you shouldn't do so much. And, I didn't really want to just like do nothing. I was just a very active person. So most of the time I would just kind of push through and wait it out or whatever. But I mean, some of the weirder ones were like, I had a foot that swelled up for no apparent reason, and it just stayed swollen for a year, to the point where I had to wear sandals in winter because if I wore shoes, I mean, at least I lived in San Francisco, so it wasn't that cold, but I'd still get a lot of looks when I was wearing flip-flops when it was really cold outside. And, you know, I went to every doctor that there was. They put like little blood pressure cuffs on each of my toes to like test the circulation in there. I mean, ridiculous stuff that I had done. Mm-hmm. And still, no one could ever figure anything out. So that slowly just kind of went away on its own. And I mean, hindsight 2020, like all of these things now make total sense to me that they were all neuroplastic symptoms. But at the time, you know, I had no idea. And so the thing that kind of pushed me towards this kind of work was a knee surgery that I had about 10 years ago. And I actually did have an injury. I had a hole in my cartilage that they repaired. But basically my nervous system, and I'm sure now looking back, was probably because I was so scared of the surgery to begin with. I mean, there's so many studies out there that show like if you're really nervous about a surgery or some kind of procedure, the chances of you ending up with chronic symptoms afterwards are much higher. But I had had a knee surgery previously that resulted in shooting pains down both my knee, both my legs. Oh. And so I was very hesitant to have this knee surgery, but I wasn't able to walk. I was in so much pain. And so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to have it done. The doctor said the surgery was successful. Everything went fine. But my nervous system completely wigged out on me afterwards. And I think there was like a triggering event that happened. I had to be completely off the leg for 8 weeks just because of the nature of the surgery. I couldn't put any weight on it. And so I think that had a big impact on my nervous system as well. Like, not only that, but like the leg was actually numb for, I think, about a week after the surgery. And so it's almost like my brain, I used to tell people I forgot how to walk, and it kind of felt like that. But the I think the biggest thing that impacted my brain was when I first started doing physical therapy, when I was allowed to put weight on it again, I had this moment at in a gym where I was on a leg press machine with my legs completely straight, and I went to slowly bend my knee, and my knee locked, and it was like it just wouldn't bend, and it was like this excruciating pain in my leg. And I think that, on again hindsight, my brain was like, I'm not ever letting you do that again. Like, that was so excruciatingly painful. I'm not going to do that again. And so I developed this horrible fear of going from straight to bent, and that basically made it very difficult to walk, made it very difficult to do any kind of normal movement. Like, if you think about when you're walking or even just standing, if somebody bumps into you, you use your legs to catch you, and you kind of have this give when you land, when you trip, or somebody just bumps you a little bit. My nervous system went the other direction, and it decided that instead of bending, I'm gonna go hyper straight, and I'm just gonna like lock straight, and that's my safe place. That's what felt safe to me. And so whenever anything happened to me, like if I lost my balance or whatever, my leg would basically just lock in a straight position, which is really not productive, and you can hurt yourself pretty badly if you do that. And so because of that, I developed this horrible fear of going anywhere, because if I went to the supermarket, what if somebody bumps into me? I'm not going to be able to like catch myself. I'm not going to be like I was housebound. I couldn't function. I couldn't walk. Everything hurt. And I just I we no one could figure out what the problem was, why I was still having so much pain. I went to everybody, gait specialists, different kinds of neurologists. I was this close to getting one of those horrible tests where they like shoot electricity through you to make sure your nerves are intact. I don't remember the name
The
of
nerve
nerve conduction
conduction
study, I
study.
think. Yeah, I was so close, because I was convinced that someone had cut a nerve, because I'm like, my leg does not behave like it should. Like, I just felt like I didn't have control of my leg. And thankfully, the neurologist I went to was smart enough to say, like, I can guarantee you don't have any nerve damage, so just don't do the test. So I never had it done. I did never have it done, which I'm glad, because I've just heard that that test is pretty horrific. But yeah, it was a very, very bumpy road. This was 2 years I was on disability from work, and then finally I started working from home a little bit. And the thing that kind of started moving me in the right direction is I started working with two different physical therapists. One who, ironically, I went to him because he was a gait specialist, and so he had all of this technology. He could like put sensors on me and see what I was doing with my legs. But I think he was knowledgeable enough about the mind-body connection that he could tell that this was not a mechanical problem, and he could tell that it was just I was scared. I was scared of everything. And so he started doing I hated going to physical therapy with him, because he would do things like he would just like push me from behind, like just to like get me scared, like, or over the fear, like just to prove to me that I could catch myself. But I hated it. I was just, I need to know, like, it was super stressful, but it proved a point to me. And so like it kind of started the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Then I started working with another physical therapist who worked with stroke patients, and she would have me do exercises that scared me. So like anything that involved going from straight to bent. But she would be like, so, name fruits that start with the letter S, and just distract me in whatever way. She would give me like math problems to do and stuff like that. And all of a sudden I'd be able to do these movements without pain. And so little things like that started kind of getting my mind in the right place. And then I started learning about neuroplastic pain. I started seeing a doctor that I learned about. His name was Michael Moskowitz. He was in the San Francisco Bay Area, and which is where I was living at the time. And he had a kind of different take on neuroplasticity, but his was kind of my gateway into all of this. And then I learned about Curable, and but even though I was starting to do this kind of mind body stuff, and I knew that fear was a huge part of it, I was still fixated on the fact that I was not strong enough and that I still needed the physical therapy. And so I was doing like 4 to 5 hours of physical therapy a day. Like, it was ridiculous how much I was doing. And so it was the PT, the one who worked with stroke victims. She was the one who basically told me, stop doing physical therapy, don't do any exercises. And at the time, we were delaying, my husband and I were planning on moving to Africa from the Bay Area. And I was stalling because I was like, I need doctors. I'm not okay. Like, I need Western medicine. And we need to figure this out. Like, I can't move to Uganda, which is where we were going to move to. And my physical therapist basically was like, you need to go. She's like, you need to stop doing all your exercises, and you need to get out of that house. That house that to you means pain. You were stuck in there. Like, you had to like be in that house and work from home, and like that house to you means pain. And so she's like, I think you just need to start doing other things, living your life, and completely changing your routine. Just like, get out of your head. And she was absolutely right. I mean, I was terrified, and I didn't feel, I probably felt like I had improved maybe 40 to 50%. But I did believe that I didn't need doctors anymore. I knew that like I could get there without like any like physical interventions. And so we did move. And in the first 6 months of living in Uganda, I improved by like more than I had in like 3 years prior to that, maybe 4 years prior to that. And that was with doing nothing. Like, I
Not
wasn't
doing
doing
physical
physical therapy anymore.
therapy, not doing
No,
extensive training and strengthening and just living.
just living. I started running again. And And so,
So you weren't too weak, it turns out.
No, definitely wasn't too weak. And it's funny too. I tell the story too, is that the gait specialist, the other physical therapist that was working with me on my fear, there was a moment once where he was like, he had me on the treadmill, he had me walking, and I was kind of struggling with walking still. And out of the blue, without telling me, he's like, you know what, let's try to run. And he just pushed the button and turned it on. And I had no choice, and I just started running. And he's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel fine. He's like, I'm like, there's no pain. So he's like, yeah, because you didn't have time to think. He's like, and when you run, you don't really think about every little movement that your knee is making and your leg is making. And whereas when you're walking, it's slow enough that if you're scared, you're gonna change the way you walk, because like you're think overthinking it, and so I just didn't have a chance. And so this is just like, these little moments were just like kind of clued me in. But yeah, it was a very, very, very slow, bumpy road. And in the end, I mean, the things that helped me the most were honestly the physical therapist. But the thing that really pushed me over, like, because for me, you know, a lot of people with mind body symptoms, it's a lot to do with emotions, it's a lot to do with stress. And for me, it was really almost 100% just about fear of the symptoms. That meant that PRT was really, really the thing that like tipped it over for me. Somatic tracking and dealing with my nervous system's reaction when I have a pain. Because when I have a pain somewhere, even today, it's just, if it's in my finger, I don't even think twice about it because I don't have a history with my finger. And I don't really need my finger for anything. I'm not like a concert pianist, but if it's in my knee or somewhere where I have history, then immediate it's like, is that the good leg, the bad leg? What leg is that? Is that okay? Is that not okay? I immediately go there. But now I know that that's my reaction. I know I have catch myself. And like, I laugh at it. And I'm just like, because like that split second when you're thinking, like, is that a pain I need to be worried about or not? And it's like, I remember Dr. Schumner saying in some lecture, I don't remember where when it was, but he used the term like pain is a decision, you know? And like that statement, I still repeat it to myself like on a daily basis because like pain only matters if you're scared of it. I mean, so like for me, it's like if the pain I feel is in a place where I have a history, then it matters to me. I notice it. I think about it. If it's somewhere else, it's like it doesn't even, it just, it's in and out. Like it doesn't even, I don't even notice it. So I, for me, TRT was the technique that worked the most of all the things, you know, curable and journaling and, all the things that I've done. I mean, I devoured everything that has to do with neuroplasticity. And I kept digging for repressed memories. I mean, my childhood was fine. I mean, I did have things. I still have, you know, issues with certain people and relationship stuff, but no big T traumas. And the more I dug, I was just kind of like, you know, I feel like I've kind of processed that stuff. And I really think that for me, the clincher was just fear. And also because I'm an athlete, or consider myself still an athlete, I'm 45 years old. I don't really like I still feel like I'm an athlete. I like to work out, I like to be active.
Athletic.
And so it means a lot to me when something hurts because it means I can't do what I love. So that's where my fear comes in. That's where my stress comes in. It's that, it's what it means. It's what the pain means, that makes it linger. You know, like my husband twists his ankle and he's just like, oh, it'll be fine tomorrow. I twist my ankle and I immediately go to catastrophizing. How long is it going to be like this? Da, 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 da. What does it mean? And all that kind of stuff. So I, yeah. So I mean, because and so b because PRT was so instrumental in, I worked with a couple of different people at Pain Psychology Center for a while, a few years back, and then I decided to take the PRT training because it had helped me so much that I wanted to start helping people in the groups that we're in. And you know, just, and it was fascinating to me. I studied human biology in college and like never used it for anything. I mean, I worked at Google for 10 years and ran my own business prior to that in team building events and stuff like that. So it was, this was just fascinating stuff to me. And so I just, the more I learned, the more I like just loved it. And so a couple of years ago, it's been a couple of years now that I took the training and started doing coaching. And I love it because, you know, people in the beginning were saying that, well, it can be really stressful because sometimes A, you can like absorb symptoms from your clients.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that has happened once. That did happen to me once, where like for a little bit I did like start to get a symptom that one of my clients had.
Yeah.
But for me, it's actually been the opposite, in that I feel like it reinforces all of it in my own mind on a daily basis. Because like, even though I consider myself recovered, you know, it doesn't mean I don't have flare-ups, and you know, patterns are very easily, you know, you fall back into them very easily when stuff comes up, or you're not paying attention, or
Sure.
you don't keep up your self-care, right? And
Yeah.
so I find that like the more I talk about it, and the more I tell people what worked for me and how they can help themselves, I find that it reinforces it to in my own mind.
Yeah.
So I actually really love that aspect of it. It's like I'm coaching myself sometimes as well. But
Yeah.
yeah,
Okay.
so I think that was a really long-winded answer to your
No,
question.
that's great. So it sounds like from what you're saying, for you, I've tried to ask people like, what was the biggest thing that helped you? And you said decreasing that fear. Like that sounds like the biggest thing for you. Like for me, I think it was the personality traits, and I was so critical, and I was so harsh on myself, and I just always felt, you know, drained because I was never good enough, and that was just how my mind was. But so for you, it sounds like more the fear and the catastrophizing when there was pain. What is this going to mean for me? And decreasing that
Yeah.
fear really helped. Are there
Yeah, and
any?
believe me, I have the personality traits too, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
absolutely. I definitely recovering perfectionist and all that, but I think as part of that, the other big thing was the intensity with which I was trying to fix my problem. Like doing 5 hours of physical therapy a day and constantly researching new techniques. I mean, I flew to Canada to see a doctor to that I was doing some kind of like fancy therapy there. And I tried these Lycra pants that were you would they were somehow like Bluetooth sensor like attached to your phone, and they would show you what muscles were being used as you did exercises. And I tried to use those to like teach myself how to like function better. I mean, if there was something to try, I tried it. Special shoes, special everything. I mean, it was ridiculous. And it was my life. Like it's all I did. And our life was on hold. And that's why I think the PT was like, get out of here, go move to Uganda. And I think that's why that was such a huge impetus for me to get better, was that all of a sudden I couldn't do a lot of that stuff anymore. Like it wasn't even an option.
That's such a
So,
good point,
yeah.
because I think sometimes people think, okay, if I can just do all the things, and maybe it's even all PRT stuff, but they approach it with this intensity and this, you know, perfectionism and overdoing it. And so it's really not as much
Yeah.
about what you're doing as the intensity and the nervous system state you're doing it from. So you could be maybe eating all like healthy foods and doing 4 or 5 hours of physical therapy a day and still not seeing those strength differences, because it wasn't even a problem with strength. It was your brain tightening up certain muscles to protect. And so even doing all that physical therapy from that really anxious place was putting you further back or not improving. So I think that's just such an important point, that
Yeah.
part of this work can be learning to just approach our problems with a little less intensity, with more trust, with less of that fear.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that is a common thing we
Yeah.
see, right? People taking this work and they learn this, and then they just want to be the best at journaling and meditating, and that still keeps them stuck because they're still so fearful and perfectionistic.
Yeah, I almost find like the term coach like almost a little ironic, just because a lot of times I feel like we're not motivating people. People are uber motivated already. It's sometimes we have to tell them to like dial it back a little bit and be like, don't try so hard. You
Yeah,
know, like you
exactly.
don't
Yeah.
yeah. And I mean, that is actually another thing. You know, somebody posted in the group, I think a few days ago, about, you know, what did you learn from your experience, like from recovering from pain? And one of the biggest things I think for me is that slow down. And
Yes.
like, I felt like, I mean, typical type A person, but like was just constantly thinking of what's next and not being present and not really enjoying my life, not enjoying the moment. I was always rushing, even if I wasn't in a rush.
Yeah.
And I noticing that was
Yeah.
a huge thing for me. And I still have to remind myself sometimes I'll like be for on a run and I'll be like, there's no one chasing me. I'm running because I love to run.
Yeah,
Like, and
exactly.
so like, you know, when people say like, just put a smile on your face. Like that sends such a great message to your primitive brain that you are okay. I mean, it
Yeah.
sounds silly, but it's like such a huge, it's so powerful sometimes, you know, and just like it works for me too. Like absolutely, like,
Yeah.
but yeah.
I think that is so important too. Definitely that flight energy of like, I've got to do more and I've got to always be busy and just living for the future and not really thinking about the present moment. Definitely, I think a lot of people are dealing with that. When I use this example of when I was just kind of discovering all this mind body stuff and my job went remote when COVID happened. And so I thought, okay, now I can just like relax a little more. I'm not going to be so busy, so stressed. But what my brain did was started to look at all the closets that needed cleaning out and the baseboards that were dirty, right? So it's like, even though I changed the circumstance, my brain was still in this activated state of like, you've got to be busy, things have to be taken care of, and just not knowing how to rest, or that I deserved rest, or that there has to be this balance in life. So I think that's a lot of what this pain reprocessing teaches
Yeah.
us, is how to have more balance, maybe even how to have more fun, feel deserving and worthy
Yeah.
of taking breaks and slowing down. And it actually, ironically, by slowing down and taking care of our nervous system, we are doing more. Like we are able to get more done than if we're just pushing, 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 getting into pain or going into freeze, and then we can't really do anything. So it's kind of the tortoise and the hare, right? If you just go slow and steady, you're going to
Yeah.
get further than let me just like do all this stuff and I'll do it 10 hours a day and I'll be out of pain by next week. And like our nervous system just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And then you tell people, like, you know, your homework this week is to have more fun. Like,
Yes,
what?
I know.
It's
Yeah.
like you
Hear you.
can't have you can't be in fear and laughing at the same time. You can't have fun and be playing and enjoying the present moment and
Yeah.
feeling fear. Like it's just impossible to feel both. And so it's just, but yeah, it's hard. I know people are just like, how can I do that when I'm in such pain? So it's definitely like you said, the tortoise or the hare, like which comes first, the chicken or the egg. So it's like, I understand how hard it can be for sure. And I think that's also like, you know, I worked with a I've, you know, been in therapy for various periods of my life and stuff like that. And I feel like when it comes to chronic pain, it's really impossible to help someone if you haven't experienced it yourself. Like, I don't know how you would,
Yeah.
because it's, and I think that's part of the reason why our group is also so encouraging and supportive and popular, because it is so isolating.
Yeah. What would be your advice to someone who it sounds like you've had times with those beliefs of I'm just fragile, I get injured a lot, I take a long time to heal. If you see someone that has those kind of beliefs and maybe new pains keep coming up here and there, what would you advise them? from your experience?
If I had known about the evidence that, the fit criteria and like
Yeah.
how to determine whether your symptoms are neuroplastic or not, do they come and go? Do they, feel worse on certain days, certain times? Are they like, innocuous triggers that bring it on?
Yeah.
Does it kind of feel different every day and move into a different place and that kind of thing? Does it act weird? Like,
Yeah.
can you do you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, I don't know,
Yeah.
if I had known about this stuff, I think my 20s and 30s would have been very, very different. So I think, if it doesn't behave like, if you broke your arm, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt
Yeah.
all the time, and it's gonna
Yeah.
hurt if you move it, if you touch it, if you,
Yeah.
but if it behaves like, neuroplastic pain, using any of those criteria, and if you have the personality traits, if you had trauma in your life, adverse childhood experiences, all that kind of stuff, like it's a much, much better way to look at things, a much easier quote diagnosis than continuing the struggle of like going from doctor to doctor and continuing to look for some answer that's just not there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, even though it's hard, it's definitely hard work, and it's, I mean, there are the so those people who get better much quickly. I was not one of those people, but those people are very lucky. So in general, it does take time for this stuff to work, but if you think about it, it's a much better path to take than, let's say, you did have some debilitating disease or tumor or some kind of something that was causing horrible symptoms, because it's also like going to impact so many different aspects of your life. Like, going to help you be less stressed. It's going to help your nervous system be more regulated. It's going to help you be more present and
Yeah.
focus on positive things. And so like there's it's a mindset change.
Yeah.
It's not a way to get out of pain. It's like
Yeah.
a new way of life, I think. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
it there's only positives really. So
No, I agree. I mean, I just think of like some people don't have chronic pain, but they get coaching or therapy to learn these same types of things. So pain can bring us to this approach, but really it's good for all of us to address our limiting beliefs. If we're being a people pleaser and not standing up for ourselves and not being honest about how we feel about things, overcommitting to things when we don't really want to go, and being really harsh on ourselves, like I said, like that stuff had to change for me anyway in order to live a productive, fulfilling life. So in a way, I'm kind of glad my symptoms brought me to this work because, like you said, it's a whole mental and lifestyle change more than just, okay, here's this like thing I use every once in a while. It's more like this is a principle for anyone to change some of those personality traits or behaviors that I just thought they were personality traits I was born with, but I'm like, oh, I guess my nervous system is going into these states because of fear. And now I'm able to, put myself out there a little bit more and grow and be more honest with people instead of just, overcommitting and feeling horrible and overextended all the time. It's really this focus on this self-care and, how to be most in alignment with myself rather than always just worrying about what other people think. So, yeah, I think it's a lifestyle change. And how would you say you perceive yourself now, as far as you used to say that you were very fragile and took a long time to heal? How does that feel now to you?
I definitely don't describe myself like that anymore. But I also feel like I'm more balanced, because like along with that fragile, description, was also super intense. And so, like that was the narrative, was like, oh, I just like ran myself into the ground, and whether I actually did or didn't, it was a message, it was just like, there's no one chasing you kind of thing. And so, but yeah, like you said, the personality traits are definitely things that you can work on, but I also feel like there's a level of, almost like self-compassion you have to have for those parts of you, like, yeah, instead of getting mad at yourself for being self-critical, like everybody is self-critical at times. You're going to be self-critical. Like that's just human nature. But allowing, feeling self-compassion for yourself when you do, and noticing it, catching yourself when you're doing it, as opposed to like letting it snowball and like going down the rabbit hole of all those horrible negative thoughts. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your
That's such a
question,
good
but
point. Yeah, because we're not doing this to just be fully regulated all the time and we're just perfect now at processing all our emotions. It's like we are still in life going to expand and evolve, and that is going to bring up stuff. And the more we can just realize, yeah, sometimes I go into freeze, sometimes I do this, right? Like, this is a sign that I'm evolving, and this is a sign maybe I should rest a little more or take a, go a little slower. But it's not something that I have to avoid. I don't have to, never feel fear again. I just need to know when it comes up what that message actually is and how to work with it, rather than, I'm going to get to this point that I never feel an emotion or I never feel pain. It's more like we are humans. We're going to have emotions. We're going to have pain flares. We're going to have new things that come up, and just knowing how to handle that without going into complete panic versus, yeah. And a lot of that is the compassion, right? Being compassionate with yourself, meeting yourself where you're at, realizing, okay, I may think that sending an email isn't that scary, but I went into freeze, so something was scary about it, and I can just, reassure myself I'm safe, but I don't have to beat myself up that I went into freeze by sending that email. It's not a sign that I am not good enough or I haven't done enough work. It's just that stretched me, that kind of pushed my limits a little, and now I know what to do to soothe myself again and to get back to where I need to be. Yeah. Okay. Well, that has been so great. I really appreciate your story, your advice, and your specific perspective. Are there any last words of advice or things you'd want to say that have come up?
I don't know. I guess one thing is that, like, sometimes people think that once you're recovered from chronic symptoms that, you don't ever experience neuroplastic symptoms again. And when they hear that that's not necessarily the case, even like the executive director of the Pain Psychology Center, or like, really people who speak on panels and go to conferences and stuff, they admit that, like, it's never, it's not, and that's not the, I think it's the word, that the curable app, it's curable. Like, you're not, I don't think it's possible to ever be free of having something come up at some point, because we're human. And so I think the point is that we know how to deal with them, and they come up a lot less, and they don't become debilitating, and they don't take over our lives. But I feel like sometimes people get discouraged by, like, what do you mean it doesn't, you still get pain sometimes? And I'm like, occasionally that knee that I had surgery on, that is totally fine, occasionally I feel something in there, but I know there's nothing wrong with it, and it doesn't scare me, and then it's gone. And so I just know how to react to it now. And so I guess my point is that it doesn't mean that this stuff doesn't work. It doesn't mean that you're not like completely, I feel healed. I feel completely recovered. I don't consider myself somebody who has chronic pain anymore. But it is, I do feel like it is something that will be a work in progress for the rest of my life. And if I had known about it sooner, it would have been better. I could have spent my 20s and 20s and 30s working on it. But I think that, you know, it's not reasonable to think like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, some somatic tracking for 6 months and then you're never going to get a headache again. Like, life happens. Life is stressful. There's things that come up, and there's no way around that. And these are just the tools that you need to navigate it and be happier, be more relaxed, be more successful, be more compassionate, be more loving to yourself, to others, like all of it. It's all one kind of connected mindset, I think.
Very well said. Yeah, I do think people, we talk about being pain-free or healing chronic pain. And I like the term of it's chronic pain-free, right? I'm not dealing with chronic pain day in, day out, every single day. But of course, since I'm a human with a mind and a body, like even I was telling someone the other day, she was asking about my ulcerative colitis and was just saying how she's like, what do you do when you have symptoms? I'm like, I just never really get those kind of symptoms anymore. I have some kind of IBS ones, but not like the blood in the stool. And that night I had blood in my stool, you know? So it's like, sometimes it's just even that. And I had that attitude about it of like laughing and being like, oh, of course, it's because I talked about it. And but I wasn't scared at all. And I wasn't like taking it to mean, oh, this stuff doesn't work, or I'm not good enough, or I'm doing it wrong. Or I think there's sometimes, as we may be a little perfectionistic in this work, the people that come to it may already have a little perfectionistic tendency. And so then it's like, if I have any pain at all, making it mean something versus just being like, oh, okay, hey, you know, there's this one part of my body that hurts a little bit right now, or maybe even a lot right now, but it's temporary and I know how to deal with it. And it's just maybe even my body talking to me or this sign to slow down, but it doesn't have to be like, go Google
Laughing about it, I find it is like super, super helpful. And for me, the thing that it gets me every single time, and to the point where I do laugh about it, is if I'm going on some kind of trip, and
it.
usually when we go on trips, they're active, like we'll go like trekking in Nepal, or last year I did the Tour de Mont Blanc and hiked around Mont Blanc for 10 days. And every single time I'm going on a trip, before the trip, I get a pain somewhere. Every single time. And every single time it's nothing. It goes away. And it's hilarious. I mean, like there's times where like before I knew about this kind of work, like I would be in tears. I'd cancel trips. You know, and now I'm just like, I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh my God, seriously? Like, I know exactly what this is. And it doesn't make it go away right away, but it always does go away. But at least by the time the trip starts, I'm always fine. But that's like my thing. You know, it's the thing that like, I'm still like, okay, I know it happens. Like, I still can't prevent it from happening. It's like too unconscious.
There's some predictive coding, but if you know how to handle it, then I use the analogy a lot of like when your foot goes to sleep, because that is really painful, right? Your foot goes to sleep, it's waking up. There's this little period of time where there's intense sensation, but we usually don't say, oh man, what a bad day. My foot went to sleep this morning, or you can't believe how many times my foot's fallen asleep this week. Like we know it's not a big deal. It goes
You
away
know, it's going to go
quickly.
away.
We don't make it ruin our day. We don't make it mean something about ourselves. Wow, what an idiot. I sat in one place too long and my foot went to sleep. We're just like, but it is an intense pain. So I like that example of like, you can feel a lot of sensations and really not make it mean anything. And it comes and goes and it's fine. But if you have that intense sensation and you make it mean, oh, now I'm, geez, what? I haven't meditated enough, or I'm not good enough. I haven't done this work enough, or I must have some kind of underlying emotion. Now I have to go figure it out. That is just focusing on it. That's adding that fear. That's telling the brain, danger, danger. And that amplifies the pain.
I mean, it's what we've learned in the past too, or like things that doctors have told us, like if you do that, you're gonna get this, and like then you do. Or I find that like if I do like a really hard workout and I'm sore the next day, I love that feeling. Like it hurts, but I love that feeling because it makes me feel like I did something. But if you get sore and you didn't do a workout, then all of a sudden it's like, what's wrong? Something's wrong,
What's wrong?
and it's the same pain. There's it's processed by your brain differently because there's no reason for it. So like, oh, there's something, there must be something wrong. Or if you get sore in one leg but not the other one, it's like, well, that's weird. There's something wrong now. And so yeah, it just the games that I end up your mind plays with you, and then you start to go back and think like, why do I think that? Like all of those studies that have been done about like, the way people process milkshakes differently because they think one is caloric and one is healthy, and then their body actually processes it. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that your brain can do just based on beliefs. Like it boggles my mind, and it's like so fascinating to me. That's like one of the reasons that I love this work so much, because it's so powerful what the brain can do. But it's also like it can do some pretty painful things too if it's scared.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I think that's a good summary, a good wrap up. And if people are wanting to contact you, do you want to just tell a little bit? We can include your information in the show notes, but tell a little bit about what you do and how they can find you.
Sure. So I have a website. So I'm a chronic pain coach, specializing in pain reprocessing therapy. And I am based in Kenya, but because I am in this like kind of random time zone, I can pretty much work with anyone. I have people in the US and Australia and Europe, everywhere. It's all online, and my website is retrainyourchronicpain.com. And my story is up there, and you can reach out to me through that. I'm also moderator with Betsy on the Tell Me About Your Pain Facebook group. You can reach out through me to me through Facebook. And yeah, I'm always excited to talk to people about this stuff, even if they don't become coaching clients. Like, I'm open to doing just like free consultations with people. I mean, I remember somebody contacted me a while ago, and they were interested in learning more about what I do. And from just 15 minutes of talking to them, it was very clear to me that they had done everything and they were doing it way too much and way too intensely. And I said, take a break. Call me back in 6 months if you still want to coach. And I haven't heard from them. So
Just having that
sometimes
outside
that's what you
perspective.
need.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, okay. This is so great. Thanks again. We'll be in touch.
Yeah,
I'll
thanks for
be
having me.
seeing you around. And thanks for all of you who are listening and have a great week. Okay, thanks. Bye. If you've been struggling with chronic pain or symptoms and need a little extra help on your journey, I would be honored to be your coach. I have group coaching in my monthly membership Alignment Academy. It's an amazing community of like-minded people and resources if you're feeling alone on your journey. And I also have some one-on-one coaching packages if you want to take your work to the next level and achieve your results the fastest. Check out the links below in my show notes for more information.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you learned a little bit about your brain today that helps you in your life like it helped me. please be sure and subscribe and leave a review. And of course, be sure and share this podcast with someone you know that wants an unstoppable body and mind.